This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. The Cowboys are sitting here at 3-2 now, going to make things interesting for us as they get set to host the Detroit Lions, one of the strongest teams in the NFC so far this year. Can they whoop them and help us reimagine what might be possible in this Cowboys season? We'll talk about that before too long. Lions are 2.5-point road favorites. We had the latest on the injuries and your Cowboys headlines coming up here in 20 minutes as we get the expressway started. And then Broadus is going to step in and give you some film takeaways. He's already had a look at what they did so well yesterday in limiting the Steelers. It's time now, though, for an addition to the finest. And here's the Chief.
Man, I think the best-looking thing I saw yesterday were those Denver Bronco uniforms.
Those old ones?
Bo Nix was screaming in the face of Sean Payton because Sean Payton was screaming in his face about something. Max Crosby was trolling Bo Nix there at the line of scrimmage at one point. But the beautiful Orange Crush uniforms for Denver get the job done. And Patrick Surtain, once again, coming up huge. He has two interceptions. One goes for the house call. And he actually found some time on the rookie tight end out of Georgia, Brock Bowers, who had a really nice game himself. When he was not being defended by Surtain, it was 7 targets, 6 catches, 84 yards. But for the rookie tight end, when Surtain was on him, it was 2 targets, and both of those were intercepted by Surtain himself. So that was something that was pretty impressive. I will say, from a Cowboys standpoint, and it kind of gets lost because of the way the second half went, but you go back and watch the game, underrated play of the night, first quarter, 3rd and 14, Dak to Lamb, toe tapper on the sidelines. My goodness. How awesome was that? Great protection. Dak had plenty of time. Boom, right side of the field. And it's 3rd and 14, very difficult play. What a throw, what a catch from CeeDee Lamb right there. That was fantastic.
There have been some throws over the last 2 weeks, I feel like, from Dak that are just next level, you know? And I think maybe some of the turnover trouble that he got into yesterday is just a result of them asking him to do more than what is safe, you know? He's having to take risks to make these plays happen, and I think, you know, we should probably get used to the huge plays, but also maybe the turnovers are going to rear their ugly head here if we're going to try to, you know, get this offense going.
Yeah, I think you're looking at 2 weeks in a row here where Dak has done a really nice job just with efficient, quick passing, accurate to his guys, and even if there's not much separation, it did feel like they were giving you the curl routes yesterday, or last night. You know, they were comfortable. It felt like just giving you some of those, and Tolbert was the recipient of a handful of them, but he was super efficient. The quick passes, once again, 16 of 1,951 yards, and on attempts over 2.5 seconds, Dak was 12 of 22 for 197. So he also had both his touchdowns and interceptions on those plays where he's hanging on to the ball over 2.5 seconds. All 4 of Prescott's interceptions this season have come on attempts with over 2.5 seconds to throw.
What were the numbers you gave for him on over 2.5 seconds?
Over 2.5 seconds?
Yeah.
12 of 22 for 197.
Okay, yeah, guy, I was thinking you were saying they were better because they weren't. They were worse. That's not good.
Right, yeah, it was his quick passing.
The quick passing,
16 of 19.
It was really good. Yeah,
151.
Right. Okay, I was sitting there thinking, guy, I was like, he made it sound like, oh, you know, he was really good throwing the ball over 2 seconds. Every quarterback, it seems like, has, like, if you always remember Jalen Hurts, anything like for Jalen Hurts, he holds the ball longer than anybody in the league. And when he does, it's usually something bad happens to him.
Yeah, you're going to get under pressure. You're on the move. There's all sorts of horrifying things.
You're going to force the throw. That type of thing.
Yeah. I'm surprised it's taken the Cowboys this long to get Dak good at this. You know, I've never felt like that was a strength, especially after the injury.
When it comes to like play breaks down, extend the play. Yeah, that's something that leaves a little bit to be desired. Now, I mean, on the touchdown to Rico, pass to Rico is kind of one of those plays. Breaks down, you rolls off to the right and makes a play there out of the pocket.
It was a great block, too, by Steele to be able to keep Watt pinned at the outside there and allowed him to throw the ball in there, have a spot to go to make the throw.
Hey, that's a takeaway from last night. I know we don't probably sit down and watch a ton of Steelers games just for four quarters, but gosh, TJ Watt is as good as you ever imagined. just from the start of the game. It's like, hey, we got a chip on him. We're doubling him with Steele and Martin, and he's still flushing Dak out of the pocket. And that was just, it felt like all night he was everywhere all the time. And same with Herbig. I know Herbig's the backup because Highsmith is out. Herbig was a monster last night.
Yeah, and they I think they caught a break when Herbig got hurt.
Totally. It helped Tyler Smith there at left tackle.
Sure did.
Play on a little bit easier mode there. Yeah. Watching Zeke and watching Najee Harris in the same game, you're sitting there just wondering, like, man, could we get the slowest miles per hour ball carriers from Next Gen? Like, if Next Gen's really doing journalistic work here, they're going to give us the best, and they're also going to give us the worst. I can't imagine anybody being slower than Zeke and Najee. Watching Najee, I was like, man, this is our Zeke. Watching him just plot around.
It's even sadder with him because he's a couple of years younger. But, yeah, you know, I imagine the NFL teams see those numbers. Like, do we have one of the slowest running backs? Why is our guy hitting the hole? All of that's got to be available to them. And maybe that's why we're seeing Zeke's role be diminished more and more. But you heard it again today in the Mike McCarthy press conference, the reverence that they have. One of the most liked guys in all of the building. You know, it's just, it's going to be such an unpopular move that I think – where they've gone with it now is probably as far as you can take it, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah, like, hey, we're going to give him five carries and he'll barely play, but we still like him, right? He's playing.
Rubber has met the road here on this one, I feel like. Yeah. But that was a really, it was a gutsy win. It was a character win.
You want to know what Harris's speed was into this game?
His top speed?
Yeah, max speed.
Max 16. Speed.
16?
I would say in the 16s.
Yeah, 16.22. Wow.
Yeah, and that's
about 2/3 of the top runner.
that's extremely slow for a ball carrier. That's like what you expect your pulling guard to top out
with Zeke. Slower.
With Zeke? You want to guess? Give me a number.
15.5.
I'll actually say a touch higher. I was more unimpressed with the speed of Najee last night. Because he actually had some open field opportunities, and he was like tripping over himself on a screen play where he could have probably had an extra 10 yards. So I'll say Zeke was a touch faster, 16.5.
17.51.
17.51. Look at that.
Nico Dowdle was an 18.27.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, outside of Turpin, there's not much in the way of speed on this Cowboys offense, but Turpin's another takeaway. That was he had a nice performance.
Collinsworth said a lot of confusing things last night on the TV call. I don't know how much you guys got to listen to that, but one of his better takes was, man, this team just seems faster tonight, man. It was right after.
With the Cowboys?
Yeah, it was right after Turpin had gotten the ball. Like, there's just something about tonight. This team just seems faster.
Yeah, it's because they're getting Turpin the football. Early down, quick passes to Turpin for an easy 5 to 6 yards, I think is a bread and butter, needs to be more of a staple in the offense.
I actually wanted to check to see if Collinsworth might be like part owner of a team. I think he might be getting the Tom Brady treatment where he can't talk with the coaches about anything.
Yeah. Who do you think the fastest Cowboy receiver was of Lamb, Brooks, Tolbert, Turpin, and Flournoy?
Oh, I would say Turpin.
Gotta say Turpin there up the middle, yeah.
On that seam play.
Flournoy.
Flournoy's faster? How fast did he go?
Did he have the ball ever?
He got 20.54, which is top speed.
Oh, Turpin can go at least 22.5,
he
don't you think?
19.68 yesterday.
They just got to get Turpin loose. He must have had to slow down.
Yeah. No, but in all honesty, it was a disgusting game. Turnovers, penalties, unforced errors, shooting yourself in the foot, and doing everything in your power to lose the football game, but still coming away victorious. Every reason to throw in the towel. Tons of adversity. Guys falling down left and right. The delay. All the stuff. Every reason to just, hey, we got a lame duck coach. This thing's done. Pack it in. And they fought. And for the front runners to do that, kudos to him.
I mean, you go on the road, you play a playoff team, and not only were you better, but I think in a lot of ways you dominated them. It was just that the penalties and turnovers, you know, made the score so much uncomfortably closer. But this would be one of those games where you'd be looking at the box score saying, how the hell did we lose to this team if that pass hadn't been completed? Like, on the yards per play basis, the first down percentage, everything was great. And hopefully it's a big step in the right direction for this offense as they're figuring out what it takes. More Rico.
Yes.
You know, different kinds of runs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe getting Turpin involved. Maybe Tolbert getting some confidence going. Less Brandon Cooks. I know he's another one of our favorites, but he might be a little washed as well, Brian.
The you know me, I'm nerding out on these numbers now. What do you think the completion probability was for the 4th and 4 play for the game winning touchdown percent?
55%.
Chieftain?
Probably 45%.
43.6.
I mean, when you go back and look at it, it's such a great throw from Dak. I mean, it feels like it's an inch away from the defender.
Target separation, there was a yard.
Yeah.
On the target separation.
Which ain't much.
That was the, of let's see, of all the passes he threw.
Ooh. You can't understate just how pressurized that final play was, dude, especially for Dak.
Okay. The only play that had a lower probability of completion
was the 3rd and 14 to Lamb.
That was at 41%.
I'll tell you, that was such an awesome play. It'll be forgotten forever.
27 yards.
Yeah, that was an awesome pitch and catch.
How about the pick play component of it, though? That's something that, you know, we've wanted
yes,
for years.
Absolutely. The design of that, like, it would be so easy. How many times do you just see, hey, we'll isolate a guy and we'll just try and throw it up to him and see if he can win a 50-50 ball, and it's such an awful play. This one is like, hey, we will design something to try and create enough space here, and it was a great job on the route there from Tolbert. He gets pushed back into the field of play, out of the end zone, and gets his way back across the plane as Dak is throwing him the ball there, and it was a great throw from Dak. So all around, kudos to him in a very, very high, tense, high pressurized situation. Dak seemingly losing the football game for you. If you don't complete that and you go home with the L, it is just it's a Dak pile on, and understandably so. For as good as he was throughout the game, the turnover moments, the sack moments where he's holding onto the ball too long, those are literally losing you that game if you don't come up with a huge one on 4th down. And so I don't know how much they're feeling that in the moment because you're just so in the moment. But looking back now, you're just like, the amount of pressure on that one play, it's 4th down. This is it. It's about to get so loud for Dak in particular, and then just this entire team. Mike Tomlin, did you hear him at halftime what he said? This was one of his, another just great Tomlinism.
You know, we got to stop kicking our own butt. If we stop kicking our own butt, we can start focusing on theirs.
But that was a pretty good bar right there at halftime.
Melissa Stark.
Yeah, she got that out of him. And then after the game, this is how Tomlin painted the picture.
There's a fine line between drinking wine and squashing grapes in our business. And, you know, that's an example of it.
I don't know exactly what he means by that, but I guess if he won, they'd have been drinking wine, but instead they lost, so they're just stomping on grapes.
It's such a fine line. I mean, was that 2nd down where Dak nearly fumbled the ball into the pylon?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, if his arm hadn't been held, I think he's reaching out to touch that pylon, maybe losing control and having a touchback
happen. I want to give Dak some credit that maybe he thought better than doing that.
Maybe,
And he just said, you know, oh, this is a bad idea. Jeff Heath and Derek Carr, the Raider game. Oh, there it goes. You know, that kind
of thing. I was thinking that, but on the replay, you see him. He wants to, but the defender blocks his arm. Yeah. Like, he wants to reach, but it gets blocked.
Oh, that was Mika Fitzpatrick on the tackle.
Yeah. Fitzpatrick, yeah.
Yeah, that was just an incredibly dramatic game for how low scoring it was. All the lead changes, man.
Just real quick, if I could,
sure.
Of the four, the bottom four percentages for Dak completion percentage deals or chances, three of the four were in the 3rd and 4th quarter. He had the one to Turpin for 34 yards was at 47%. That was a 3rd and 5 play. The 4th down play on the goal line we mentioned, that was a 43% one. The one to Lamb for 27 yards was a 41% one. And the 1st and 10 pass he threw to Jalen Tolbert for 7 yards, it only had a completion percentage of 35%. So three of the four passes he had were second half passes of difficulty.
It's on hard mode for him right now, and some of the passes that he's pulling off are just with a tiny margin of the tail. Like the safety's coming in with another eighth of a second, he's there to break up the play with Tolbert. But salute to the guys for figuring it out, maybe in a difficult season, how to get the job done and get back over 500. Okay, will they be there again? We'll see. We got the Expressway coming up next, LA Live at 5:40. Broadus will give you some more film takeaways, and we'll take a look at everything that's been breaking when we return right here in the G-Bag Nation. Shoot, yeah, it's time now to hit the Expressway. We'll go commercial-free to the top. LA Live's coming up here in about 15 minutes. Flagtober appearance tomorrow. This is at like 30 in Cockrell Hill. The Chiefs going to be at Lowe's on Chalk Hill Road from 9 to 11 in the morning with your Whataburger-themed G-Bag Nation flags. Let's take a look at what's cooking with the Cowboys. This segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And the Expressway is brought to you by the on-time experts. Okay, Cowboys coach Mike McCarthy on Micah Parsons said he was at the start of the day to get some treatment. He's got some work to do. We knew this week would be a stretch. He said they'll have a better idea of Parsons' chances of playing versus the Lions on Wednesday. Okay. Probably not too optimistic on that, Brian.
I would say after the bye.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And then Neyland, you're looking at a partially torn meniscus. He needs an arthroscopic surgery tomorrow.
Six games
for Marshawn Neyland. At least it's not worse. Could have been much worse. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's had a nice start to his rookie career. Maybe he can come back and build momentum towards year two when he comes back in like late November at this mm-hmm. point, maybe Thanksgiving game.
Thanksgiving, yeah.
And left tackle Tyler Guyton with his knee is going to be day-to-day. Could he play this week?
Day-to-day, yes. And I think there would be a possibility. We'll see what happens with him on Wednesday. I guess he would probably be limited. We'll see what Thursday practice brings for him.
Okay, some interesting takeaways from the game, just how dramatic it was. According to Elias, this is from Todd Archer's report, Dak's throw to Tolbert, 20 seconds left in the game, the fourth latest go-ahead score in team history. In 2015, Romo Witten beat the Giants with 7 seconds to go.
Yes.
That's the record.
I think that's when Witten caught like 18 balls in that game.
Oh, yeah?
It was a crazy, Witten would just... They
4 yards a catch?
Pretty much, yeah.
In 1967, Brian, you remember this one with 10 seconds to go? What happened?
10 seconds, can you give me the team?
Yes, Cowboys. It was versus Washington.
What happened in the game in 67 against the Washington Redskins?
With 10 seconds left on the clock.
So it's probably Don Meredith to... I'm going to say Don Meredith to... Hang on, I'll get this. Don Meredith to Frank Clark.
A pretty good guess there. You had one of the names right.
So it's Meredith to Bob Hayes?
Wrong order.
Oh.
Different player.
Bob Hayes?
Okay.
Throwing the ball?
No. Well, it was actually Dan Reeves throwing the ball.
Oh, Dan Reeves.
To Don Meredith.
To Don Meredith.
A little bit of a Dallas special trick play with 10 seconds to go. You're throwing to the quarterback.
Philly special?
Yeah. And then you got Romo to Witten in 2007 with 18 seconds to go. They beat the Detroit Lions there with a heck of a throw. What do you guys think about the Lions right now? That's a good segue. You will have Tom Brady, who's, by the way, still figuring things out. If you watched that game yesterday or listened to much of it, it will be Fox's game of the week. Tom Brady on the call. Cowboys are actually a 3.5-point home dog. That's pretty big. They think the Lions are about a touchdown better. And anything can happen. I feel like the Cowboys need to have that game where they get the takeaways and they make a big play in the passing game and, you know, they have the answers on defense. But I don't think in a regular tit-for-tat type of game the Cowboys have much of a chance in HE double hockey sticks of getting this job done.
Oh, yeah, no. The way the Cowboys win is to create some turnovers and force some errors there from the Lions, because yeah, straight up, the Lions are definitely the better football team, and now getting pressure on the quarterback will be paramount, and I don't know if you'll be able to do it. And they're rushing attack, I mean, we just saw Monday night and they put up 40 points looking real good.
Yeah, it's tough to imagine. The Cowboys having the firepower to keep up with that right now. It is week-to-week league, though, and Seattle looked good in that game as well. And then yesterday, they looked horrible against the Giants of all teams, which has cost me another bet payoff. It's unbelievable.
This is what I would consider doing. Temperature for the game is supposed to be 90 degrees. I might open that roof. I might try and make the Lions have to play in some heat.
Yeah.
I like that.
Hey, I wonder if honestly, that's the type of thing that you got to pull out all the stops.
I would weaponize the climate.
Open up the doors and the roof and turn that thing into an oven.
Worth a shot.
And then see if you can get the Lions to wear down in it.
Well, it might be the Cowboys who wear down here over the next 6 weeks. Their opponents right now are a combined 18-10 over the next 6 weeks. I think 1-5 is possible. I think we could be looking at just a disastrous run here. You know, what would that be, 4-7?
What would your evaluation, if they beat the Lions, then what would your evaluation go to?
I would say they got lucky. And that you know, they could be as good as 3-3 in the stretch.
Oh, okay.
As good as 3-3,
but it's better. Okay.
I think 2-4 is possible. You know, I think 1-5 is doable. I don't know if I'm going to pick 3-3 on this slate, but I know this team can only beat seriously compromised football teams right now. You know, that's the Giants, that's the Steelers. The Commanders, by the way, looking good. They're sitting at 4-1. One of the easiest schedules in the league. Yeah. How about this stat, though, from the game? I tell you what could make me reevaluate things, Brian, is if we get more of these big runs from Rico. 12-yard carry in the first half. It was the first rush by a Cowboys running back to go for more than 10 yards this season. Okay, and if you think that's great, he had two more.
He had two more.
One in the third, one in the fourth.
Yeah.
So we're making actual runs for greater than 10 yards. Multiple of them in the same game. Is the running game fixed? I know we're going to talk defense here in just a second.
No, it really, no. I mean, yeah, it's getting better. But like I said, to me, it's all about their ability, the combination blocks. And if they, like I said, if they could get the receivers to get things going on the edges, you know, they might have some better plays. You're going to see this film. You're going to watch this game, and you're going to go, God, they left some yards on the field. But that's a pretty good run defense you played against there. I wouldn't say it's fixed, but I think it's going in the right direction if they just keep loading up Rico Dowdle on the play.
Okay, you got the Raiders mulling a possible quarterback one change there with Minshew not getting the job done, might be going to Aiden O'Connell. It's Jabril Peppers, right, charged with assault and drug possession. That's an ugly story.
He's a captain, too, for that team.
Yeah, New England. Hopefully everybody's okay there. The Colts are saying Richardson is the starter when healthy. Caitlin Clark is going to play in an LPGA Pro-Am at the Annika. Apparently there's an Annika Sorenstam LPGA tournament, and Caitlin Clark's getting a little sponsor exemption, though, so she's going to jump in there. Chris,
that good
ahead.
Of a stick?
I don't know.
I know. I'm about to say, like, geez, how talented she be?
It's a fine motor skill.
I think I've seen her swing, and it's actually really nice. I don't know how much she actually gets to play, though. But, you know, Pro-Am, an exemption, yeah. Annika, bring her in. Have some fun.
She joked last month that she was, when she was eliminated from the WNBA playoffs, that she planned to play golf until it gets too cold in Indiana. And then she's going to become a professional golfer. Maybe she's like the Tony Romo of the WNBA. This is the Women's Leadership Summit. I love golf, so the opportunity to play in the Pro-Am for a tournament with a legend like Annika is exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing all the LPGA in the driving range and being part of the Women's Leadership Summit and, of course, teeing it up at the Pro-Am. So we shall see. It looks like she's going to play with Annika. All righty. It's time now for Krusty's Corner Part 2. A look at the Cowboys' defense. Here's the king.
Yeah, thank you very much, General. Appreciate that very much. Looking at the defensive side of things, was there anybody in particular you wanted to that you guys wanted to ask about that you said, hey, how did so and so maybe look, or how, you know, is there anybody in mind?
Seemed like Jordan Lewis was so on fire. He was having a great time talking trash. Yeah. One of his better games again.
Yeah, Jordan Lewis and what he's been able to do. You know, they put him in these situations where he, you know, he has to carry the field because of playing in the slot. He's going to be physical. He's going to tackle. They brought him on some blitz things. He got picked up a couple of different times. I'd love to see them get him home on one of these. The blitzes from the slot, maybe kind of, I've seen some things like with the Giants and the way that they were able to get their slots home if they carry routes or carry motion and then blitz like as they're like showing like they're in coverage.
I like that.
And then blitz. Maybe you could do something where it's a little bit more difficult with the man and man situation. But Jordan Lewis is a hell of a football player.
Yeah, tenacious.
He's always been that kind of guy that, you know, has been able to, you know, the challenge. It didn't matter. I mean, they've hated him. You know, he was, you know, Chris Richard said he was too short. He doesn't have the length. All these things about him. He's just, every year we throw dirt on him and he laughs at our face.
Might be time for another contract.
Been in the league 8 years now, I think. 8 or 9 years. It's a
hell of a run.
Incredible stuff. Really nice job from your guys with your defensive ends. When Marshawn Nealon went down, they went into a rotation where they started using some different guys. Matter of fact, they took the opportunity to take a couple of the linebackers like Maris Leofau and play him on the edge. They went to some 5-5-2 alignment stuff. So they were trying to kind of compensate for losing Nealon. Tyrus Wheat, I mean, man, that was incredible, the amount of rush that he was able to get in this football game.
Set the edge well nicely, at least a couple times.
He did that very, very well a couple different times. I thought that when you look at Carl Lawson, what he was able to do in this football game. We talked about how to play the run, play it with more discipline. Guys like Carl Lawson, Wheat, those guys were playing this game with some discipline when it came to the runs and when it came to the quarterback runs. You know, not going, putting themselves out of position. I thought it was the best game for Linville Joseph. You know, you look at with what he did to Suamala to get the sack fumble. He just completely ran over their best offensive lineman. I mean, just went straight over the top of him. And then you got the situation where the quarterback was kind of stuck in the pocket there, and he was able to knock the ball. Carl Lawson's got to fall on that ball, though.
Totally. I mean,
he just got to fall on that ball.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Is there anything to the idea that, you know, without Micah Parsons out there, they're more disciplined, more sound?
It's fair.
Yeah.
It's fair. I mean, it's fair because you've got some guys that don't have the talent of Micah Parsons that can kind of jump around blocks or play the game a little loose.
But it's also fair to say the Steelers' run game is just bad.
It was. Yeah. We said it all week long. It's a volume running game, and when you hand the ball to that runner, it's not going to go anywhere. The only way I felt like the Dallas could lose this game in the running game was going to be the quarterback.
They bottled him up.
They completely bottled him up.
He looked dangerous early. What'd they change?
Well, what they did was he didn't run as much. You know, all of a sudden it was kind of like the first run, he goes for 8 yards and you're thinking, oh, damn, here we go.
It's like the first play of the game, design run. It's design like, oh, run. Wow, we know what their plan is.
Right.
And then they went
completely away from it. But this longest run was that 8 yard run. That was it for the game. So good for him.
Okay, go ahead, Chief.
Yeah, I was just curious about the touchdown pass that they had to that Hayward dude.
Yeah.
And it looked like Malik Hooker was the one who gave that up, but was he in a bind with just the way that they, was it man?
Yeah, he's got him in man coverage. They ran really like a bunch formation, and then Hooker was really late reacting to the play. So what happened is everybody picked up their guy, and it was almost like Hooker's thinking they're playing zone. And then he sees everybody carrying guys, and then he kind of like, oh, okay, I got to get over here. He was just late to the party on that one, though. His vision, it was looking like inside. And then when the routes all developed and he saw his guys running with routes, it's like,
oh, crap, that's my guy.
I need to react. You know, I need to react on this one. So I kind of feel like, though, to me, that was, you know, his – That's his fault. I mean, they're playing man coverage. He needs
to know that.
That's his guy.
Right.
So he's got to get over and make that play.
Let me ask you an offensive question, Brian. Sure. A lot of people have been asking on text. Okay. I know I was talking about it on social, and I wonder about this. Is there any way they're better when Tyler Smith goes to left tackle?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're better. Yeah, they're better over there because, you know, with Guyton.
I mean, he's a better tackle, but overall is the five better?
T.J. Bass.
Bass. That's the thing about it.
He had some good snaps, though.
I'll tell you what. This is what would happen. If Chuma Doga was healthy in that game, we would never see Tyler Smith play left tackle. Hmm. We wouldn't have seen that at all. What was strange was they had Awesome Richards was active in this game. And they just immediately went to... They immediately went to the moving Tyler Smith. And it might had to do a lot with Herbick.
I think
over
so.
There, and then maybe having to deal with Watt a little
with
bit.
With the way Watt and Herbig were playing, it's like, geez, we can't throw Richards out here right now.
They felt like, and good for them, if they felt like their best five was to take a guy, Tyler Smith, who probably had not practiced all week. I know in training camp, it's funny, Brad Chapman, we were talking last night in the post game. Brad was like, I don't even remember him taking snaps at left tackle in training camp. So he this was a spur of the moment where we're not really comfortable putting Awesome Richards over there at left tackle.
Yeah.
And then they did it with Tyler Smith, but
and it's an elite ability guy.
Yeah. There was you know, when you look at how he plays, it's just like the first snap you could tell, the first snap he was kind of like he was talking to Bass, and it was kind of like, okay, this is either Bass is asking him what he needs to do at guard, or Tyler Smith was saying, okay, tell me again what I'm supposed to do over here at tackle. But that was only the only play where he looked like to me that it was just a little bit of some question. But the technique was really good. The problem with Guyton is his technique is just so it's just a struggle for him right now. He can't get his feet right. He can't get his hands right. His body positioning is so bad with the way that he blocks that he's going to get the holding calls, and he hasn't gone against anybody that he's better than.
You'll give him a couple years before you start throwing around.
You know, I just feel like you got to give him time.
Yeah,
you got to give him time. But he honestly has not gone against anybody that he's better than.
Okay,
just hasn't done that at tackle.
Well, thank you, sir. Krusty's Corner most every afternoon, 3:40. He had extra stuff today, so we made a 2.0 right here in the middle of the expressway. More Cowboys coming up at 6 o'clock and at 6:20 as well. We'll have an audio celebration there with Two Guys, One Booth. Time now to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius has a lot.
Hey, we'll get your opinions on this, fellas. Conversation I was having over the weekend while I was sitting at the fishing hole.
Ooh. How'd we do?
I did pretty good, man. I had some fun.
There you go.
What is the most football position in all of football? What do you think the most football position is in all of football?
I'm going to say linebacker.
Fullback. Yeah.
Okay, at least we're in the same vibe. I did say linebacker myself.
Yeah, that's fullbacks or linebackers kind of.
Ton of respect for both of those
positions. Guys are football guys. Like, when you see them in real life, you're like, hey, man, I don't know what this fool does, but it better be football. That and a defensive end.
Yes. Yeah.
That fool looks like a football player, too, when you see him in real life. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Miles Garrett looks like a football player.
The hell out of you when you see him. Yeah. You know what I mean?
DeMarcus Ware.
Yeah. I was thinking about free safety, too, because I remember playing free safety sometime in high school. And I'll tell you what, that is a fun position.
Because
you get to see the whole damn thing develop.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I feel like every play there's an interception you could have had. So close. It was 20 yards away from you, but you've seen it happening.
It's right there.
Yeah. Until, like, the play starts coming your way, and it's full steam by the time it gets your way.
That's the thing I never envied, having to be a safety who is now the last line of defense, and it's a running back who's now got a bunch of steam coming at you, and you're like, oh gosh, and he's got the whole field to work with. That's a lonely island.
It's pretty awful. You can either get ran over or get shook.
Yep.
I'll take option B.
Yeah.
Bad angle, coach. Yeah, my bad.
My bad, dog.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into a Monday, Friday edition of LA Live right after the great Rick James.
All right, you squares.
Last time you smoked. Fire up this funk and let's have a toe. It'll make you dance to some of everything.
Hey.
A Monday.
What up? Yeah, I just want to give a quick appreciate to Mondays. Now, I know you guys are going to be like, whoa, chat. You should appreciate to Monday? What are you, a corporate drone? Did Staples offer you the bag? Hell no. Dilbert can suck it. But I ask you this. What would Friday be without Monday? If every day was Friday, would you even want to go to Chili's? And also, why do we allow Monday to just dominate us? What if we chose to make Mondays sick as hell? Every Monday morning, I wake up, I do 200 push-ups in front of my girlfriend, shotgun a NOS energy, and crank out 50 emails, all with exclamation points. Make Monday kiss the ring.
Yeah.
It's a massive priest of Mondays. What up?
Yeah. This is LA Live for Monday, October 7th, 2024. It is a Monday, Friday here in LA Live. Word to the rap group PPT for the name.
Salute.
Monday, Friday vibes in LA Live is just where I go over some of the things I've seen over the weekend. How was your weekend, boys? How was your weekend, by the way?
Pretty dang good.
Pretty good.
It's a good weekend.
I've learned about Costco is kind of a fun place to go, even though it's packed.
It's fun. I got the Sam's card.
I'm a Sam's. I like Sam's better because I can check out. You know, I can scan everything.
Scan and go.
Scan in my basket. Oh. And like the Costco line, really too long for me.
Bro, that scan and go, doesn't it feel illegal?
Scan and go is brilliant.
Yeah, first time I went with my girl, she was like, no, just walk out. I was like, this is how we doing it? You don't see all these cameras?
I haven't experienced it. You can pay for this if you need to, babe.
You kind of push over to the side and just scan and go, and then boom. And then kind of box it up and get on out. I like it.
Like, yeah, good for you, man. No baby oil at the Costco's, too, by the way. Yeah, send that message to P. Diddy's lawyer before you put Costco's name in your mouth. Make sure you do your research. My Saturday morning was filled with funerals. God was out here godding. God was out here doing his thing. And then after that, I was all sad and whatnot. So me and my bro headed to the honey hole, the fishing hole.
There you go.
And we got there about Saturday afternoon. We did not leave till Sunday morning, about 6 o'clock.
Wow, dude.
So you went like tennis and all that?
Yeah, we was all night, lights and everything.
Bug spray.
Yeah.
I was about to say mosquitoes, bro.
Having great stories, catching fish. Then after 6 o'clock in the morning, I left and went to Waffle House.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ate two omelets, got full, fell asleep, and then I probably woke up during the Packers-Rams game.
Yeah.
Nice, bro.
Yeah, it was a fantastic day after all of that.
I love me some Waffle House.
Yeah, they hold you down, bro. You got to ask for the omelet, too. It's not even on the menu. The Southwestern omelet or whatever, you have to beg for it.
Yeah.
All right, G, back in the day, we do it every weekday on the fan at 2:30.
They'll make it for you, though.
They sure will.
Yeah.
With all the jalapenos and everything.
Exactly.
Just pull out a Newport, they'll give you anything.
What you going to do with that, honey? At Lucky Lucius P on social media, if you see anything floating out there, Lucius Alexander on Facebook, or you can follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner right here, Crowley, North Crowley, stand up! Cowboys, offensive lineman. Tyler Smith. Tyler Smith, post game. He's pretty excited about that Cowboys win. What happened there, brother?
Bro, I mean, it was miraculous. I mean, JT literally sprained his nuts. Ooh, excuse me, sorry, guys. Sprained his nuts the play before, comes back, makes the game winner. Unbelievable. Extended play. I mean, that's guys playing above a 2.3. Dudes emptying the clip. I mean, it was great stuff.
Yeah. Tyler tells it like it is.
Yeah, that emptying the clip is really becoming a thing.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. It looks so scary. What was I going to say here? Every NFL stadium needs a dome.
Yes.
Yeah, it's over with.
Yeah.
I get it. You want the elements and everything. We'll get the retractable roof.
There you go.
If that's what you want to do. You need a dome. There's too much money on the line. People pay too much money for these seats to be sitting in ponchos and drinking beer.
Yeah.
That dude was cool that did it, though.
That man almost asphyxiated himself.
Yeah, he did.
The wind.
My goodness.
Yeah, come on, man. It's too much.
He did. He looked like he was in a plastic
bag. Man, somebody help that man out there, man. He hurt himself.
They're making $100 million a year, multiple hundred millions of dollars a year. We can get roofs. You know, you can get grow lights for the grass if you want grass.
Yeah, get a roof, bro. It's over with. I get it. Nostalgic and everything, but get a roof. LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a Monday, Friday. We're at the PPT. Hurricane Milton.
Oh, no.
It's now a 175 mile per hour Category 5 storm, bro.
175?
Yeah. And they over here talking about, like, maybe we can pump it up to something like a Category 6. We need to make a Category 6 now.
No.
Because it's so darn huge.
Yeah.
How would they make it?
I don't know. Just decide whatever the miles per hour is and the largestness. Well, this is now this.
That's the SNL bit from the weekend. That was hilarious,
dude. SNL was fire. Tied as the fourth strongest Atlantic hurricane in history. Hurricane Milton is in the Gulf, headed towards Florida right now.
Yeah, Tampa.
Yeah, Tampa.
Tampa.
The storm is now about 700 miles from the state. Expected to hit landfall on Wednesday. Tampa Bay. Beware, bro. Deadly storm surge of 8 to 12 feet, if possible, for Tampa Bay.
I want nothing to do with that situation. If I'm anywhere near that, I'm out of there after seeing North Carolina last
100%.
Week. The people standing on their homes.
Yeah, your other side of Florida, just on the right on the other side, on the other coast. Y'all got smacked too, man. This hurricane's coming back to back like a conga line. That's kind of scary. Here's this meteorologist. He was on NBC 5 DFW.
Okay.
My man got emotional when talking about the hurricane.
It's just an incredible, incredible, incredible hurricane. It has dropped. It has dropped 50 millibars in 10 hours. I apologize. This is just horrific. Winds, maximum sustained winds are 160 miles per hour. And it is just gaining strength in the Gulf of Mexico, where you can imagine.
Dang. Yeah.
50 millibars in 10 hours?
Yeah. This is apparently it's growing super fast. Scaring the hell out of folks out here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be careful. By the way, Tampa Bay, low key strip club capital of the country.
No question.
Oh my gosh. Those Las Tampa Venus. Strippers know how to make it happen.
Yeah.
Give you a good time down there, brother. Mm-hmm. Legally. Just adult fun. Speaking of adult fun, it's a reality show based on the Kansas City Chiefs. WAGS is in the works. Oh, wives and girlfriends of the Kansas City Chiefs. It'll be on Bravo. You guys interested in this?
I mean, look at
Eric, why are you looking like that?
We got Taylor Swift is going to be a part of the show.
I feel like we get this in bits and pieces every week during the Chiefs game.
Yeah.
We need more Taylor Swift on our televisions? Is that what you're
saying? I'm generally not a fan of this genre of reality TV, behind the scenes type of stuff.
I think the 49er ones are an interesting group. Because they got, like, Kyle Juszczyk's wife.
She makes a nice jacket.
She makes jackets and stuff. And then they all kind of, like, there's a lot of involvement going on with that crew. They're a very social group, that San Francisco bunch. They post a lot.
You watch that? Well, look at you. I mean, you know all about it.
No, but I can see, like, during the Super Bowl, we were there for the Super Bowl. Remember when they were, you just kind of got the vibe that these gals and, we're all really there's a lot going on with this crew. Their husbands are
fun
probably
squad.
And boyfriends are probably going, oh wow, what's going on?
Well, you better add this Kansas City Chiefs one to your little watch list there, Mr. Broadus.
They're just doing it for the Chiefs just to hope they can get one background scene where Taylor Swift is in the
Oh, we got her. We did the screenshot for the whole thing.
The whole season, the whole show is now made worth it.
You don't see her but one time just walking
there
by.
It is.
Well, the Chiefs, like the Gracie Hunt, the daughter, she's into all that social. She posts.
You can make a show around her.
Yeah, Gracie
and
would
I might
be a,
watch.
Gracie would be a good show.
Sorry, Dan.
Clark. That's
you're down
dad
with that genre.
Yeah.
Well, is Clark and I the same age?
I need the real deal.
We don't know if Taylor or Brittany are going to be a part of the show. Mm. A lot of reports are saying, no, you won't see them. But we'll see. We shall see. LA Live 105.3 The Fan.
I don't want to see any Jackson Mahomes either. You know, that would be my other concern.
He's gotten punted,
honey. I think so. Yeah. I think they see him coming around. They're like, get him out of here.
Yeah.
Camera doesn't like him.
Yeah. He's a kind of an HR nightmare.
That poor guy. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how he stays so focused. His wife is wild as hell, and his brother's crazy as hell. Yeah. And his daddy's always getting to you.
Dad's
how do you stay focused, fam?
Jeez. Must be smoking on that Joe Burrow, too.
This man is a goat.
Get Rice's mom out there. She's involved, right?
Rice mom, while still in packages, take that jersey off. Take that damn jersey off. You're still packages, mom. Comedian Bill Maher was seen leaving Chateau Marmont, I believe it is, in Los Angeles, with Al Pacino's girlfriend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's quite a pull for him.
Come on, man. With Al Pacino's girlfriend, Bill Maher is 68. Al Pacino's girlfriend is 30 years old.
Wow.
Al Pacino's and his girlfriend were just photographed together leaving a restaurant that same day, hours before, bro.
Wow, that is so messy.
The two were also seen together September 25th at her birthday party. The couple welcomed her son, Roman, in June of 2023. Al Pacino pays this lady $30,000 a month in child support.
Jeez, dude. 18 years, $30,000
a month. And you know she's cleaning up. She has dated Mick Jagger, Al Pacino, Clint Eastwood, two European billionaires, and now she's looking on Bill Maher, bro.
She knows how to take care of an older gentleman.
Oh. Yeah. The Hollywood dudes do the same thing that the athletes do. They just, it's like the same girl. It's like...
10 different athletes, no problem.
That's
just
awful.
Get in line.
That's awful, because if I had this type of situation, bro, I'd just walk into a nice little hospital and get the pick and, Mommy, come here. That surgeon, come here. Would you the head nurse? Come here. I want them all. Let's see what else. Keanu Reeves brought us.
He's driving a race car.
He's a race car driver now.
Real, real?
Yeah.
Finished 25th.
Come on, fam. Go with it. Yeah, bro. Yeah, ran as high as 21st at one point. He debuted at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Qualified 31st out of 35 cars. He had a single car crash a little more than halfway through the 45 minutes of the race. Spun into the grass. When he had about 21 minutes left of the race, he spun into the grass by himself. Yeah. He re-entered the course, but, you know, he couldn't finish it. Ended up finishing that 25th, like Broder said, driving a Toyota out here.
Yes.
Now, he's done this before, but he raced against, like, celebrities. Now he's racing against real drivers.
Yeah, the celebrity race in Long Beach is a really good one.
Yeah, he won that. He won that back in the day.
Patrick Dempsey, you know, that's where he got to start. Now Patrick races with our guys in the IMSA. He races sports cars. Yeah.
Look at that. Prodis, I knew you were going to know something about that one. Richard Simmons. Everybody knows the icon, Richard Simmons. That guy.
Yeah.
He was buried with his workout clothes on.
Good for him.
Oh, wow.
Comfortable.
All the glitter.
Yeah.
I loved his red, white, and blue one.
Yeah, his little fro, his little curly fro. St. Louis.
Leggings.
He's at the St. Louis Cathedral in New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, shout out to my dad's neighbor, John Beckwith, at the Golden Gate Funeral Home. They'll set you up right.
Okay.
You want to get married in your iconic workout clothes, they can do that for you. If you want to get married with buried with a fishing pole in your hand.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And the galoshes and all the other stuff. They hook you up like that. They put you on a motorcycle and everything.
Wow. Dope, dude.
Dead man, yeah.
That's, you know, that sounds like what you should get with some of these expenses. Yeah. You know, the funeral is expensive.
Yeah.
At least give me some props.
That's a real thing. Shout out to Golden Gate. They'll do you the right way.
I'd like to, I don't know.
How would you go?
Could I get, like, hanging on a rim like reverse dunk? You know, like with the legs all up and splayed like Kenny Walker. You want to be on a put somebody on a poster in your coffin? Yeah. Like nearly horizontal like Jordan on that great poster in the 90s.
All right, let's see what else we got right here for you. Yeah, yeah, I feel you. You walk into the service and you see, man, this Dawson just dunking on it. It's crazy.
He paid the big money for that one.
You know they better. They dropped $20,000 for this one.
They'll really do anything. Wow.
Yeah. Hey, do y'all want to hear the playmaker Michael Irvin's live reaction to the Cowboys win?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Michael Irvin was in his restaurant, which I want to go to and watch a Cowboys game. Up there in the colony, was it called Playmakers
88? Yes.
Yeah, I want to go there because Michael Irvin is there during Cowboy games for the most part.
I think I'm going to be there for the Niners game.
Come on!
Yeah.
I want to see Michael Irvin run around and go crazy and whatnot.
He was on the sidelines of that Miami Cow game.
On all fours.
On all fours, yes. Playing defense. Yeah,
that back got to him. That back get you, bro.
It get
you.
Oh, okay.
The back was getting to him. Standing up for too long.
Oh, I thought he was hunkering down.
I thought he was inspiring his guys, like barking like a dog out there or something.
He played it off. That back was talking to him. He was preparing for his segment with Cam and Mace on the Nia's What It Is podcast. And, of course, they had to finish the Cowboys game before they recorded their show because you have to talk about the Cowboys game. So they're sitting there looking at Michael Irvin on Zoom as he's watching the game.
Oh, God, Michael. It's 12. It's 1 o'clock. It's 1 o'clock on the East Coast. At 1 a.m. on the Friday. I ain't letting y'all leave, brother. Those bitches ain't fun. So they gotta go to work tomorrow.
Mike just disappeared. Look at Mike. I didn't even see Mike.
Dude, he went from knocked out to 100 miles an hour.
Yes. Super tired and everything to the real deal Holyfield. All right, man, that's it for me. Shout out to the fan texter. Can you please lay off that bomb and cannon sound effect? Yes, sir.
Salute to you.
My name is is Lucius Alexander. I'll be here tomorrow on a Toxic Tuesday. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. I holla.
Fire the cannons.
Yeah.
We got a fifth and final hour of the broadcast coming up next. Top 10 takeaways from victory. Tomorrow, 9-11, a Flagtober hit with Eric Chiafalo at Lowe's on Chalk Hill Road in Dallas. That's off 30 and Cockrell Hill, basically. And we're back with the final hour of sports here in the G-Bag Nation.